sensor inside that detects when you are poised to speak.
No, he didn't.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Me and that playboy in trouble again. Extra, extra, extra.
Rodney Keogh, brand manager for Bosch Lawn and Garden Products.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
So in the background you'll hear the Bosch AFS2327 running. It's a blade strimmer. It's not a blade strimmer, sorry. It's the electric strimmer. That's operating.
Big heavy pencil. I mean, I'm just holding it up with between two fingers and a thumb. I mean,
you got grass all stuck to your forehead, Philip. Okay, so that's that. And you can see what I was referring to on the Vuvuzela thing. You'll not understand what I'm talking about. Again, head to sodshow.com, at sodshow on Twitter, and you'll see the photographs up there, facebook.com/thesodshow.
Yeah, you can also see there, Philip was really trying to dog it, shall we say, up against the footpath. Now, with normal standard domestic line trimmers, the thin line does not like concrete paths. And as you can see there, he's done about 25, 30 foot against the concrete path. And look, there's very, very little wear on the end of the lines.
If you are living in domestic land or you're maintaining gardens and you're asking me, is this kind of able for it? Yeah, well, look, without question, I'll let the lads talk away in the background. More than well capable of it. It is a serious piece of kit. It's probably, again, similar to the chipper shredder that I own now. It's the highest end for me, the domestic range. But it's probably at the lower of the commercial, if that makes any sense to you. Wise investment and pretty good value. Just for the record, and so I have this right, there is actually a blade that goes on to the brush cutter or the weed cutter, the strimmer that is. So if you don't like replacing lines. Now, the only thing is if you're cutting up against a footpath, you'll find sparks will obviously fly and you'll chip the blade. But if you're taking down a piece of ground, and this is what I would primarily use the brush cutter for, or the strimmer, it's an overgrown piece of ground that's never been touched before or has been neglected for too long. Would it be capable of doing that? Absolutely, without question. We're now looking at is a power washer, and I know from talking to Rodney beforehand there's a blue range and there's a green range. This is of the green range and it is the AQT4213 or the Aqua Tack, that's T-A-K, it's the Bosch power hose. The beauty about this one, unlike the one that I have, is that you don't need an outdoor tap. If you have a water butt, and I coincidentally have two of them down the back of the garden, you can do two things. So Rodney has chosen to use a Jubilee clip to connect it to the tap of the water butt. And then with a standard hose connection, it then jacks into the base of the power hose. However, what one can do is basically lift off the lid of your water butt, drop the hose in there, and then you work away as normal. It does require electricity like all power hoses and like mine. The other thing you will also note with this is that there is literally no assembly to it at all, or I'll rephrase that, no screwdriver is required in any way whatsoever. It's got a little handle on it. I don't know whether you've ever travelled through Heathrow or Charles de Gaulle or any of those places. Do you know those luggage suitcases that you have and you just pull up the handle and then they slap back into place? It's got one of them on it. Rodney, what type of machine are we talking while you're connecting this?
Yeah, just as you saw there, it just comes quite easily out of the box. No assembly required. This is a 42-13, so you're getting 130 bar pressure here, which is more than enough for cleaning the car, cleaning the driveway. As you say, you can use it from your water butt or off the mains taps. The option is there. Or if you don't have a water butt or you have a 20 litre container, fill it with water. It means you don't have to run a big hose. Just stick the short hose into the container and it will suck the water from that container also.
Oh, so it'll take mains as well?
Yeah. You can connect it up to your mains tap either.
But we being all eco-green and friendly on the Sod Show that we are, and green and organic and all those things, we like the idea that it can, you know, just drop straight into the water. But Phil, what do you make of it?
I think it's brilliant. One question I'd just like to ask is, how about filtering from leaves and dirt that you normally, you know, unconditioned water that normally drops into our butt?
No problem. You just saw there, I've just connected. That's a water filter at the front of the machine, which comes with it. So there's any dirt in the water, leaves, as you say, or whatever, this guy will sort it out. And
is it a dynamic filter? In other words, does it clean the dirt out dynamically, or does it just stop when you have to clean it?
It stops it, and then you can manually take it off and clean it yourself. Some machines on the market say they have a water filter, but it's inside the machine and you can't get at it. Whereas this is external, so you can take it off, clean it out, put it back on. A little handy hint too, either, if you want to be sure to be sure, if you've got the hose going into a water butt, a pair of old tights over the end of the hose will also filter.
Down in the very, very bottom of your water butt, if yours are a couple of years old like mine and you're running them off the gutters, you will get that little bit of silt form at the bottom, and there are chances, or a minor chance, that it might suck up a little bit of this. The filter on the outer, and again, I'll put notes on this up on sideshow.com, at sideshow on Twitter if you're stuck, or facebook.com/thesideshow. It kind of reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever had problems with your domestic washing machine and you realise that it's not cleaning or draining properly, it's got a little trap door there, you spring it open, you take out the filter, you run it under the tap, sets up quite similar as it's happening right in front of me with the pressure gun and all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, there you go. Rodney, what kind of dollars are we talking while you're still setting it up?
This particular machine is about €170, but the range starts from $99.99 for a small machine, and we can go right up to about the $249 range, depending on how powerful you want, how many different accessories come with the machine. And then, as you did mention earlier on, there's a professional range, but you're up into the €700 department. But that's for the guy with the two horse boxes, the yacht and the...
Or
a builder.
Professional landscape contractor. Again, I wouldn't have much use for power hoses, if I'm really honest with you. It's a handy piece of kit to have if we're cleaning down, let's say, an old York stone patio, and you need to power hose deep. Bejesus out of it to put an Irish slant on it. Also in my own back garden, I've got a sandstone and granite cobble natural stone patio out my own back garden, and once, twice a year I would use the power hose to do that. Would also clean the Jeeps, undersides of machines, and I mean, I really put mine through the paces. The question, I guess, is this comparable to yours? And again, we're loosely based on all of the range that we have here. We're loosely based on somebody in three-bed suburbia who might have like one, two cars, you've got a back garden, you've got the shed, you've got that kind of gig going on, plus you also have the patio. Will it actually work for you? We're about to find out. And again, as I said, we'll try and get a little bit of video footage if we can up here, and we'll stick that to it as well. So the tap goes on the thing. This is the machine is now operating in the background. I can see the filter operating.
Priming, the pump is priming.
All right.
It's looking for the water.
What do you think, Phil?
What strikes you straight away is just how neat the machine is. Typically when you buy something like this, when you get a unit like this, you have hoses all over the place, pipes, the spray guns and so on, you have to find storage for that as well. This allows you to pack the whole lot all into one compact, neat little unit. I think it's extremely neat.
My power hose would have cost about, as Rodney suggested, the £800 mark. This is, it's operating. This is on the slightly lower side, Phil. It's about the 150 approx upwards kind of range. Good value.
I think that's extremely good value. For a unit of this sort, and the build quality of it, and the way it just stores everything away, I think it's tremendous value.
What lifespan are you talking on something like this, Phil? Again, we're loosely based on three-bed suburbia, but my head says this would do somebody like you and me quite well as well.
Well, to be honest, what are you going to break in it? It ought to start to wear down as long as you look after it. So, to be honest, the lifespan is going to be dependent on how long the hoses last. If you start knocking them around or start abusing them, that's going to affect the machine, or if you start breaking the connectors. But inherently, there's nothing to go wrong with this unit.
For that note, and that Philip just came up with, which is the hoses, and I'll chat to Rodney on this one in a second, but my power hose is of a black and yellow colour. The hose broke on it. I think I loaned it to somebody. They drove over the hose, and so when I put the pressure, obviously power, into it, the minor dinky leaks literally, they sprung all over the place. There was about seven of them came out. I replaced the hose. The hose replacement, just to put in context, was £127. To have an engineer look at the piece of machinery, I was told would be €125 per hour, and that is just a starting price. That's before they get the parts, and I think I looked after the fitting of it myself. Rodney, it came up with replacement blades and also replacement bars for the battery powered chainsaw. Phillips brought it up by accident, I guess, there, but replacements of bits of hoses and cables, should people drive over them in the power hose department? What are you talking?
All the accessories, as you saw there when I was putting it together, the hose is separate from the gun itself. Yep. So therefore, when you're replacing it, you're not incurring a cost of buying a new gun as well.
Okay.
Which is a big, big plus. You don't need an engineer to refit the hose, as you see, as you saw there. We don't do it at the moment because the machine's still under pressure. But yeah, it just clicks out. You pull this red button here, hose is out, and you go into your retailer and you say, I want a new one of them, and it's only about 30 or 40 euros to replace it. It's not super expensive.
Again, just to put this in context, this can work off the mains. The one thing I like about it is down the back of my garden. My garden is, I'm on about just under an acre, so I can take a full length hose, drop it into the top of the water butt, and I can operate away. And I can also connect it to the top of the water butt. But if you don't have a Jubilee clip handy, what I'm suggesting is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, you are talking, if you are running from a water butt, obviously physics and science takes over, but the further you are away from the water butt, it reduces the power on the machine because it has to suck the water a lot further. If your water butt is there, don't have the hose too long. Don't put a 50 meter hose on it. And that goes for any brand of any machine that is capable of sucking from a water butt. Further you are away, the more pressure you're putting on the actual pump. And speaking of pumps, all the Bosch pressure washers have a metal pump in them. It's a question to ask when you're buying a pressure washer, be it green or any other colour, is the pump actually metal? Because a lot of the cheaper end machines have plastic pumps in them. They're fine, they last. But if you run a machine for 2 or 3 hours continuously, you're cleaning in a driveway, the pump will actually start to melt. It does actually, even though there's water going through it, the impellers will break. And it's a disaster because it cannot be fixed.
Okay, one question I always wanted to ask. Lawnmowers, we know, petrol-driven ones, that is, not the battery-powered ones we have here with us on this occasion. It's always suggested that you drain the machine entirely apart from of its oil when you're putting it in for winter storage. Is there a way to store a power hose washer if you are sticking it away? Because generally speaking, in non-landscape or Peter Donegan landscaping land, you've got a scenario where you might use it to wash the car once, twice a week, whatever the case may be, but you also might only power hose down the patio once, twice a year kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, all right. The secret is, with all pressure washers, again, regardless of brand, you must, when you've turned the machine off and disconnected the water connection, pull the trigger on the lance and release that pressure. If you don't release that pressure, and your washer is in the shed over the winter, and when we do get frost, the pressure on the water inside and that will actually expand when it freezes, and it blows all the seals on the machine. So when you come spring, March and April, and you say, I'm trying to clean the patio down, the sunshine has come out, and you go to use your machine, you connect up your water, and the water starts squirting out from under the machine everywhere. That's what's gone wrong there, and it's uneconomical to repair a machine when that happens. So yes, release the pressure from your machine when you're storing it away.
I didn't release the pressure. I have blown all of the seals on my machine. It's now slightly leaky, let's say, left, right and centre, of course. What do I do then? Do I go to Bosch and say, hey, am I under warranty? And whilst we're on that subject, how does the warranty work?
Warranty is 2 years parts and labour. Covers most eventualities. Doesn't cover for the dog chewing through the hose or things like that. Out of the ordinary, extreme wear and tear. And no brand will cover you for leaving it with the pressure in the tank, and you blow all the seals, and it would be uneconomical to repair. And the advice that would be given to you would be, it's cheaper to buy a new machine.
Yeah, I have that from the top man. You will not get better advice than that. But to be fair and frank, if you're asking me personally, you've got about 150 quid on a power washer that is able to do what my machine that costs nearly four figures is also able to do. It costs about the same price as my replacement hose only. Just to put in context, that's the second thing. Third thing, it's able to take water from the water butts, which means if you don't have a hose that's able to reach the full length of the garden, and you don't have an outdoor tap, and you don't want to pay the plumber because he never turned up, then this is the piece of kit that you really want. Extension lead out the window, and boom, there you go. You are absolutely flying it. So Phillips, power hose on the lawnmower.
And I will tell you not to power hose it, but...
We've been advised not to power hose it, but we are power hosing it because, as you're well aware, in the side show we're trying to break it. So I'll ask Philip first. Phil, why are you power hosing the electric lawnmower?
pure and simply just to keep it nice and clean. You don't power hose it. I'm only just washing away the grass while it's still wet. You don't put the total pressure on the mower at all. You don't want to damage the mower, and you keep the pressure away from the axle of the rotor, so you don't have any. You're not damaging any of the bearings or anything like that.
Legally, we have been advised not to power hose the electric lawnmower, but we did it anyway. As with all things sideshow, just to try and break it. Why shouldn't we power hose it, Rodney?
Well, like Phil said there, what he was doing, it's not advisable to power hose underneath it, because you may go too close with the pressure too high and you may cause damage.
We should also note that the battery powered lawnmower, my apologies, has been disconnected.
Now check that it's working afterwards, so it's okay.
Oh God, I've my mother's voice ringing in my ear, or my dad's, one or the other, where I think I literally spent an entire childhood trying to break pretty much anything that I could. Give me a sound trial on this one, Rodney.
Okay, here you go.
That's like a nail file crossed with a hairdryer. I've got four sisters. I'm well used to hearing that kind of sounds. What have we got? What is it?
This is a Bosch Isio. Now, this tool has been on the market for good few years now at this stage, but this is the new improved model. New nice storage case coming with it. Improved battery life, an extra 30% battery life. This is an ideal item for gardeners who have small shrubs, shrubbery and topiary bushes now in their garden. Yeah. A lot of people over the years now have bought all these shaped trees, etc.
Topiary, Rodney.
Exactly.
Topiary, topiary, tomato. Yeah. So if you're into trimming box sempervirens or box hedging, this is the piece of kit. It's like a one-handed hedge cutter, and it is literally that, and perfect for sculpting shaping.
Absolutely. Nice, neat blade on it. Keep it sprayed with your WD-40 or Tech-7, have to mention a few brands, keep them all happy, to keep the blades in trim shape. It has the same anti-blocking system that the larger 36-volt hedge cutter that we looked at as well. So if you get a little bit of, sometimes shrubs get a little bit woody, and you have small little branches in it. So if it does lock on them, you won't even notice. It'll just go through and cut them.
So now we're going to hand it over to Philip, and we're going to try and break it. I've got apple trees here, Phil. So this is not obviously nice, neat pruning hedges. Pick something that you think you might like to trim. All right, so Philip's now pruning docks. This is lunacy. Do you want to try it on the apple tree?
I'll just show you there. It's a good way to show. If you take a branch that's almost at the maximum cut, and you'll see the anti-block work in progress. Just get on there, right? You hear it clicking backwards and forwards until it cuts through it.
Yep.
The sawing action.
Try it again.
So it's not stalling, it's actually working its way.
Yeah, it's actually working its way through the piece of wood.
That is fantastic.
As you say, when you're doing your topiary, you're not going to hit branches this thick, so it will do this.
These are apple tree branches that we're trying, and what Rodney is saying is that it's perfect for if the upper leaves of a box of sempervirens and a box hedge. It's more than well capable of that. I can just about fit my baby finger through it, put in context, and I have shovel hands. That's the best way to describe that. You are changing the head in it, Rodney.
Yeah, it also comes with, you're better off if you're out there going to buy one of these guys, get the two blade version. So you get that blade we had there is the shrub blade.
That looks kind of like a hedge cutter, if you understand me. It's left and right with a central stem running up the middle of it.
As you say, it's for your topiary or your topiary or whatever way you want to pronounce it.
Topiary. This one, on the other hand, looks like something you might trim somebody's hair with.
This is a grass edging blade. And you say, why would you want one of them?
Yeah, I'm asking that question.
If you've got a flower bed, right, and you've got, when flowers grow and they grow towards the edge, you don't want to go in there with the big brush cutter we had earlier on. You're going to whack out of your lovely flowers that you've been tending to. So this gives you the opportunity to just go in along the edge of a flower bed and trim your
okay,
grass.
Okay. So we'll hand it to Phil. Phil, see if you can break it. So this is for cutting grass. We have grass that was...
It's like shearing sheep.
It's the same, very similar mechanism.
So we're cutting grass that, and I don't mean nicely trimmed grass. This is grass that's been sitting under apple trees that has not been touched in about 2 years.
This looks good. I want to try it on your arm.
No, don't try it on my arm, Philip. Works extremely well. It does the job again.
Yeah, our last bit of machinery that we're going to look today is a pruner. Cordless. Again, 10.8 volt cordless pruner. known as the Keo. That's K-E-O. And nothing to do with me.
I know this machine because I have one of these. Yeah. So this comes on a battery that is 10.8 volt, but it's more, how would you say, it reminds me of when I used to charge a mobile phone. The battery doesn't kind of come off that.
Yeah, it's a built-in battery on this one. But again, lithium-ion technology. Charge it whenever you want. You don't have to wait till it's dead. You're looking at, depending on the size of the branches you're actually cutting, a few hundred cuts per full charge. Now, it takes standard SDS blades. Now, SDS sounds gobbledygook to some people, but
yep,
SDS is a standard in the market for all blades for sabre saws or reciprocating saws that you will see the likes of firemen use for plumbers and buildermen use them for cutting, you know, through rafters or through holes in walls.
Plasterboard
and all that sort of stuff. So the blades, you don't have to go out buying special blades for them. Just buy wood blades for cutting your wood. Most people, when they're pruning, they're either using a pruner, which only has a limited capacity as to what it will cut, prunes in their hand, or they will use a bush saw.
Okay.
Which, because of the shape of it, normally a bow bush saw can be awkward to get into a spot, and branches wobble all over the place, and saws slip, people get their fingers and their hands cut. So this mechanism on the front here will actually hold the branch in place, and then the saw will do the work. And as you can see, it's not very loud at all.
No, but it cuts through. I've tried to cut through plasterboard with that, because you mentioned plasterboard to me before, and it actually works. And on trees, we've passed it to Philip, and Philip's going to try and break it again.
Okay, I'm going to try it there on a branch that's an inch and a half thick. That seems to be about the... So, here we go. And you can see it's actually holding it very steadily. The branch has actually been held steadily by the jaws of the piston there. That's a 2-inch thick branch.
We tried to break it. Rodney, what would you recommend, or would you recommend you try and cut through 2-inch wood? Because that's verging on chainsaw land.
No, this will cut thicker. It'll do 40 mil because you can actually take the guide off, and now you have a sabre saw in your hand itself. Wow. So you can actually use it just like a sabre saw. Will I cut a piece?
Go ahead.
I say the only difference is that it's not holding the branch steady for you, so you probably have to do that yourself. Well, you cut through. I've cut through 3-inch posts with one of these. So,
what money are we talking on these, Rodney?
About 120 euros.
You know, this is an extremely unfair test, because this is wet wood. It's doing nothing but grabbing the blade. I mean, I'm amazed it actually managed to work its way through at all. 120 for a battery saw that weighs, what does it even weigh? Half a kilo.
If even.
No, 1 kilo. 1 kilo, okay, right. It's just the way it's just so nicely balanced. I mean, you don't, nothing is transferred to your hand when you're using that. Really, really nice.
Rodney, if people want to kind of go and check out these products outside of the sideshow, we'll obviously put the links up there. What is the best website to go to?
There are several websites out there. You best put into Google search Bosch more than anything else, and then you'll get any of the retailers or e-tailers. Pretty that good. should be able to work it out. As I say, contact your local dealer. If they don't have it in stock, they can order it in for you.
Excellent stuff. All right, so we'll get all the links to all of the pieces of equipment, photographs, everything else that you heard over the last couple of shows. They're all up there. It's all in the sideshow. Any hassles at all, facebook.com/ Sideshow, at Sideshow on Twitter, or sideshow.com. In the meantime, Philip Murta, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Rodney Keogh of Bosch, thank you so much for your time, Rodney. Real pleasure.
Thanks again, Peter. It's been a pleasure too, as well. It's great to see them being put to test by some other than ourselves.
And we try to be fair.
We'll break it the next time.